Welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. Once again, I welcome you all to this Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. Today, we are very fortunate to have His Grace Haridasa Varya Prabhuji to enlighten us on the topic of the glories of Rama's gem-bedecked padukas. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, all rose to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for giving your valuable time and association this morning and enlightening us on the pastimes of Lord Ram Prabhuji. The topic, the title is very, very interesting and looking forward for the class. But before I hand over the class with your permission, I would like to ask Aditi Mataji to give a brief introduction about Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, Padmasakhi Prabhu, Mataji. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Guru Maharaj. This is a brief introduction for His Grace Haridas Varya Prabhu. Prabhuji is a disciple of His Holiness Indra Yamuna Swami Maharaj and has been associated with ISKCON for the past 24 years. He has a deep penchant for rendering lectures from the Vaishnavite Vedic text, including Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Valmiki Ramayana, and other Gaudiya literatures. He gives discourses on various topics of Sanatana Dharma through the lens of the disciple succession of Brahma Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. He has delivered his lectures in English, Hindi, Tamil, and Malayalam across Dubai, Australia, USA, and India. He holds a graduate degree in electronics and an MBA from Simbas. Over to you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Take over the call now, Prabhuji. Thank you.
Over to you, Mataji.
Yes, Prabhuji. Yeah. Yes, Mataji. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. First and foremost, am I audible? I just want a sound check.
Yes, Prabhuji.
Okay, loud and clear. Perfect. Thank you so much. At the outset, I would like to thank once again Bhakti Sangha Japa Group for inviting me over on this auspicious week of Ram Navami. Lord Rama's pastimes are always close to my heart, and that's why you would have got it by now that the screen is green. I am wearing green. Lord Ramchandra is greenish in color, says the Shastras. Sometimes he is also bluish in color. So all the arrangements have been set. So thank you very much for inviting me over to speak on this very, very special topic. This topic is very close to my heart. And I would like to also, before I start, pay my obeisances to all the Vaishnavas who are assembled here, who are regular chanters, hearers of Bhagavatam. It is this association that I would always like to seek. I'd like to thank Her Grace Shyama Gauri Mataji. I messaged her just a couple of days back saying that I have this topic which I would like to present. And she said, you're more than welcome. So thank you for taking my childish gesture of going out of turn and requesting you. And thank you for giving me this opportunity. So before we start, we would do the Mangalacharan. Today would be a little different. It's not going to be heavy PPT, but as usual, I will keep it interactive. So there's lots of questions coming from my end to you. So I would expect some of you devotees to use the chat, use the unmute yourself and say those answers. Okay, so we start with the Mangalacharan. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakada Mahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscham Shri Rupam Sagrijatam Sahakana Ragunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscham He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Itinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pucharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschati Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadharam Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Kujantam Rama Rameti Maduram Madhuraksharam Aruhya Kavitam Shakham Vande Valmiki Kokilam Valmiki Munisimhasya Kavita Vanacharinaha Shunvan Ramakata Natam Konayani Paramgatim Ramaya Ramabhadraya Ramachandraya Vedase Raghunathaya Nathaya Sitaya Pateye Namaha Hare Krishna. So I hope that this week is a glorious week where we started off on Sunday across the world celebrating Rama Navami, the appearance day of Lord Ramachandra. I believe all of you might have had plentiful of Ramakatha, which was showered upon by great, great devotees within our institution, like His Grace Chaitanya Charan Prabhu, taking us through very wonderfully the arguments against Vali, which he puts forward before the Lord, by Pran Govind Prabhu, talking about the appearance day of Lord Ram, by Nitai Sevani Mataji, beautifully talking about Bharat Milan. So it becomes very difficult to match such renditions of such oratory skills. However, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is mentioned that the more we speak about the Lord's glories, the more we find out there is much more that needs to be discovered, explained, and there are more glories about the Lord that can be brought forward. If someone thinks that the entire glories of Lord Ramchandra has been spoken, then today's lecture might be a wake-up call. So today, the topic that we have is something which is not ordinary Ramayana. It's a poetic brilliance of a presentation by a devotee poet whom we would speak about very soon. And it is not directly speaking about Ramayana, but speaking about one of the entities who had the center stage in Ramayana, and those are the gem-bedecked sandals of Lord Ramchandra. Now you might be wondering, what am I talking about? Are we talking about Lord Rama? Are we talking about his lotus feet? Or are we talking about the sandals or the padukas, which we call it in Sanskrit, the padukas? Are we talking about that? So for that, we have to first talk about the person or the devotee who has glorified the sandals of the Lord in this way. Srila Prabhupada, in one of the purports of Srimad Bhagavatam, mentions that we should be adept, and I'm paraphrasing this is not the exact words in the purport, we should be adept in glorifying all the parts, limbs of the Lord. That means he says that we should be glorifying the ornaments, we should be glorifying the limbs of the Lord, we should be glorifying every single part of the Lord. And we should be glorifying it enough, because each one of them, remembering them, can give us a boost of devotion. So following in those footsteps, today we are going to see a great devotee poet who is falling in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, but his renditions of poems and glorifying Lord Rama's sandals are so great that it invokes in our heart a great Ram Bhakti, a great devotion in our hearts. So let us, without further ado, get to know about this personality who is known as the great devotee poet. And I'm going to share my screen. I'm going to present before you this particular... Can everybody see my screen? Can I get a...
Yes, Prabhuji, we can see.
You can see the screen. Okay. So this is the description given in the Shastras about this personality. And if you look at the left, you can see... Can anyone tell me what do they see? What is the shape?
A bell.
A bell. Very correct. So let's look at the verse and let us look at the meaning and let's talk about the person whom we are going to speak about today and his work. It says, Vede sanjate khede munijana vachane prapte nityavamane shankirna sarvavarne sati tadanugani nishpryamne purane maya vade sammode kali kalusha vyasyat shunyavade vivade. I hope every devotee, when he reads these two words, mayavade and shunyavade, we can always remember Srila Prabhupada. Dharmatraranya yobhut sajjayati bhagavan vishnu ghantavatara. So this shloka is written for the 13th century poet known as Vedanta Deshika, who was coming in the succession of the Sri Sampradaya and who is known as the bell incarnation of the Lord. So we use the bell every day to glorify the Lord. And whatever we offer to the Lord, we use the bell. Whenever we do the puja, we offer the bell. The bell is always making these beautiful hymns. And those are seen as the personification of this poet known as Vedanta Deshika. So what does this shloka say? There was a time. And there was a time back in the 10th to 13th century, when there was a great confusion. And what was the confusion? Because Shankaracharya had just left and Ramanujacharya had come and he had given a lot of information about the Lord. But there was great confusion because at that time, Mayavada philosophy was on the rise. Shunyavadi, nihilism was on the rise. And at the bastion of Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, which is none other than Sri Rangam, they said that we are finding mistakes in Ramanujacharya's commentary. Can you imagine that? Somebody coming and saying, Baldev Vidya Bhushan's commentaries have mistakes. Then everybody stopped reading Ramanujacharya's commentary. And then somebody sent a note out to this gentleman and this devotee named as Vedanta Deshika, who used to reside in Kanchipuram at that time, and said, you have to come back and reinstall this great science and commentaries of Ramanujacharya. So he made his journey all the way from Kanchipuram by foot to Sri Rangam. Back in those days, Sri Rangam was seen as one of those greatest cities where all the religion and the religious devotees gathered together to learn about the Lord, to hear about the Lord, to sing about the Lord. And here he was having his small little bag traveling from Kanchipuram with a great, great mission to do what? To save the Vedic science, to save the knowledge of Vedas from falling into misinterpretation of the Mayavadi philosophy, to save it from the misinterpretation of nihilism and mishandling of the scriptures by all castes. And this was his mission. And hence, he reached on the banks of Kaveri River in Sri Rangam. So the word spread out that who is this gentleman? Where is he coming from? And what does he has to offer? And so in the temple town of Sri Rangam, he was lying down in his house. At that time at the night, there was a knock on his door. And my dear devotees, it was from a very eminent poet in those parts of the woods where he came to the door of Vedanta Deshika, whose picture you see right in the center. You see that he always has some palm leaves in his hand, and you will get to know why, because he loves to write and he loves to establish the glories of the Lord. So he was sitting in his house, always meditating upon the Lord, and this poet came and knocked on the door, and he said, "I have come to know that you are a personality who has come to revive these greatness of Ramanujacharya's commentary. But before you even embark to do such an act, we should have a competition on poetry." So competition on poetry. Now, what does that mean? So they set up a time for themselves. So if you see on the right, you see a hourglass. In those days, people did not have a Rolex watch. They had a hourglass where some sand would be put inside it, and you turn it upside down, and the hourglass kind of pours sand from one place to another. And different quantities of sand is kept as per time. So they set a benchmark for themselves that we will have 3 hours to write our own poems about the Lord, and we can choose our topic. And once we choose our topic and 3 hours is over, the buzzer rings. And then what happens? We will find out whose poetry is greater. And who will decide that? The people of Sri Ranga would decide that. So Vedanta Deshika saw this as a challenge and a request that this needs to be won so that he can go and speak about the Lord. He can reestablish Ramanujacharya's commentaries. He accepted the challenge. So the word spread out. Everybody in Sri Rangam came to look at this particular personality. And they both were very eager to write about the poems, glorifying the Lord. And so what they did, they woke up at 2 a.m. in the morning. Yes, just before the Brahma Muhurta, 2 hours, 2.5 hours before, they woke up 2 a.m. in the morning to start writing about this glorious subject matter. Everybody gathered together at 2 a.m. in the morning. Their eyes are still not open, but they are still waiting to see who is going to write. And the eminent poet who threw the challenge to Vedanta Deshika, he started writing his shlokas very ardently on palm leaves. And on the other hand, Vedanta Deshika also started writing. Of course, when somebody is just writing poetry and you're watching, what would you do? You would go to sleep. So people slept, and at the end of 3 hours, both of them were finished writing their parts of it. So the eminent speaker, the eminent poet, sorry, he asked Vedanta Deshika, "What topic or how many shlokas have you written, and what is the topic that you have written on?" Vedanta Deshika said, "You are the one who is challenging me. Why don't you tell me what is your topic and how many shlokas have you written?" So the eminent poet said, "I have written in 3 hours more than 300 shlokas about the Lord." And he said, "What is the topic that you have chosen? What is the topic on which you have glorified the Lord for 300 verses? And the eminent poet said, "I have written about the lotus feet of the Lord." "What have you written, Vedanta Deshika?" And Vedanta Deshika said, Vedanta Deshika said that, "I am not qualified to speak about the lotus feet of the Lord. But what I can do is I can speak about something which is lower to the feet of the Lord, but greater in importance of the Lord." He said, "What is that topic?" And the answer came, "Those are none other than the padukas of the Lord." So the padukas, the sandals of the Lord, are something that always adorns the lotus feet of the Lord. So he said, "I have written about them." So he said, "Okay, so let's read it out amongst the audience. Even the Bhakti Sangha Japa group devotees would like to listen. So let us just read it out, some of the verses, what Vedanta Deshika today had presented. And I'm not going to go into the Sanskrit shlokas because it would be very, very difficult. I'm not a Sanskrit scholar. So it's not going to be the Sanskrit slokas, but it's going to be the essence of those slokas that he presented. And he presented the glorifying these verses, saying these are the padukas of Lord Ramchandra. These are the padukas, the sandals of Lord Ranganath. And he started off by saying that this is what I would like to present. So today, my dear devotees, we are going to hear about the padukas, the shlokas, and about the glories of those gem-bedecked sandals. The sandals are not very ordinary. They are not the Crocs that we buy from Walmarts. They are the very ones whose darshan, if you get, even the Crocs who is there in the Gajendra Moksha gets liberation. So these are the sandals which are going to be talked about. So enough of the introduction. We will come to the conclusion after the lecture to see who has won the competition. So that's a suspense. You might have to sit through the presentation of this particular topic to decide between the eminent poet and Vedanta Deshika who finally made the cut. But there was a question. There was a question that Vedanta Deshika could have written about any topic. Why did he choose this topic of the sandals? And there is a story behind this. And this story goes all the way into the corridors of Vaikuntha. It goes inside Vaikuntha. So generally in Vaikuntha, and I would love to ask questions, what's the favorite scene that when I say Vaikuntha, what do devotees remember it as? What's the one scene that you can remember when you say Vaikuntha?
Jai Vijay and Sankumar.
Jai Vijay and?
Sankumar.
Sankumar, okay. But who is like the center point of Vaikuntha? Yes?
Yeah, Goddess Lakshmi massaging the lotus feet of the Lord.
Okay, little more context. That's the primary picture that many devotees, of course, you can have many, many, many thoughts on Vaikuntha, but the primary thought is Mother Lakshmi massaging the feet of Lord Vishnu. But are there more things in that scene, Andy? Are there more things in that image?
Lying on the Seshanag.
Yes, the most important is lying on Anantashesh. And the Shastras say, how much big is Anantashesh? He lies down up to 13,000 lakh yojanas. Multiply that by 8 miles, you get that much is the distance that Anantashesh is lying down. And on top of that, Lord Vishnu is lying down. Now, sometimes what happens, and you might have seen some of the men or the women, when they go out for work and when they come back, they're very, very tired. They're so tired that after a whole day's work, what they do, they just lie down on the bed. They don't even knock off their sandals. They don't even knock off their ties. They don't remove their blazers with their shoes. Matajis might be frowning at, but some are very tired. They just crash on the couch or they just crash on the bed. So this is what happens when somebody is very tired. But Lord Vishnu, sometimes he also goes across different places, annihilates the miscreants, protects the devotees, and comes back to Vaikuntha. So he keeps everything. He's so tired after doing all these pastimes. Vedanta Deshika says he gets very tired. So what does he do? He takes out his conch, keeps it on Anantashesh, takes out his Saranga bow, keeps it on the Anantashesh, takes out his Kaumodaki mace, keeps it on Anantashesh, he takes out his Panchajanya conch, keeps it on Anantashesh, and he just crashes with his sandals on. So Vedanta Deshika says, these sandals are very special. Everything else goes away from the body's limbs, but the shoes are still on. Nevertheless, he's tired. So like all the wives, Lakshmi Devi, she says, every time I'm just massaging your feet, such a wonderful milk ocean is there. Why don't we ever take a walk by the shores of these milk ocean? We all know when we go to an ocean and dip our feet, what do? We remove our flip-flops and we flop around in the water And when we come back, the little particles of sand touch our feet and we kind of feel a little irritated on the sand and on the flip-flops. And we slowly make our way with those sand stuck to our feet. And then we slowly come with our soggy flip-flops back home until our mother says, all the sandals outside. Don't bring the sand in. That's what they say. But what happens is when the Lord went for a walk with Mother Lakshmi and he came back, right? He left the padukas on the floor. And he then, while he wanted to enter into the ocean, he took the padukas and also kept next to Anant Shesh, on top of Anant Shesh. And he left because he wanted to go just dip his feet into the ocean. So he just left keeping the padukas along with all the other weapons. And now the weapons started talking to each other. The conch said, look at this. I am the greatest of the conch which touches the lotus lips of our Lord. Why am I told to be sitting next to the sandals? The next Saranga said, I am the great Saranga from whose Saranga, the bow, for those who do not know, Saranga is the great bow of Lord Ramchandra. I am the great Saranga from whose thread comes millions of arrows and kills millions of miscreants. The Kaumodiki said, I am the great mace which was adorning the Lord while battling with Hiranyaksha. And the Chakra said, I am Chakra who killed the crocodile and gave Gajendra the liberation. So I am all these great personalities. Why are these sandals next to me? And the sandals of the Lord felt very, very ashamed. And it said that she started weeping completely. So when the Lord came back, his intention was not to make the sandals wet from the ocean, but when he wore it again, he felt that it was all wet. And the Lord asked this beautiful question to the sandals, why are you wet? And the sandals said, all these people ridiculed me that I should not be placed along with them. So I'm very, very sad. And I was weeping because of which the whole sandals became wet. And now hearing this, the Lord said, don't worry. There will come a time that you will be worshipped by all of these paraphernalia. And that is the moment which you see on the right in the picture, that who is the personality who is carrying the sandals which has a flower offered on it?
Bharat Maharaj.
Who is the personality who is standing behind next to the tree, folded hands?
Lakshmana.
Perfect. So, do we know Lakshmana is an incarnation of
Anant Shesh?
Anant Shesh, absolutely right. Bharata is an incarnation of the conch. And similarly, Shatrughna is also incarnation of one of the weapons or paraphernalia. So we do see that we all know in Ramayana what happens, that when the padukas were picked up from Lord Ramchandra and carried back to Ayodhya, who held it on his head?
Bharat Maharaj.
And who gave the chamaras to it when people came back? Even Lakshmana gave chamara when the Bharata was actually taking the padukas. So the Lord did make it sure that the padukas of the Lord, the sandals of the Lord, are worshipped by Bharata, Lakshmana, Shatrughna, everyone, because the Lord heard the plea of the padukas. But what is the glory of these padukas that so many people, so many eminent personalities, even the brothers of Lord Ram, who are expansions of his weapons and paraphernalia, have to worship the padukas? In fact, to speak about it, Vedanta Deshika, he himself says in his book, he says that it is impossible to mention about the glories. And how does he says it so? He says it by telling us that if one has to take the whole sky as the paper And one has to take the whole ocean as the ink. Still, one would be not able to describe the glories or write the glories of the Padukas. If a personality has to attempt to speak about it, even Anantashesh, using the sky, the limitless sky and the limitless ocean as the ink and the sky as the paper, and would like to narrate, maybe this task could have been done, but it's not sure that we can still glorify. So this lowly soul, Haridas Vaya, is not even trying to make an attempt that even Anantashesh finds it very difficult. So, but now we have spoken about the author, about the poet. We have spoken about why he wrote about this particular Padukas, because he wanted to give the importance on Padukas, and when it was ridiculed, how the Lord reciprocated with the Padukas. So now let us dive in into some of his beautiful realizations. The first realization is, if you have to choose the best two poets in the Vedic society, whom would you choose? Of course, every devotee has their choices, but then we should know who poets are. So if somebody has to choose best poets from our Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya or the Vaishnava Sampradaya in itself, whom would you choose? Any answers? Of course, this is all subjective. There's no one single truthful answer. Everybody would have their favorites. You can have your favorites in Vaishnava Sampradaya. But whom would you choose?
Bhaktivinoda Thakur.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur, very wonderful, very soulful, very wonderful bhajans. Very nice. Yes, anybody else? They should know. At least calling out their names is also so purifying. Narottam Das Thakur, Krishnadas Kaviraj, wonderful.
Rupa Goswami.
Rupa Goswami, how can we not take the name of Rupa Goswami? So many wonderful Chitrakavyas, so many wonderful shlokas of Padyavali. Very, very beautiful. Soul stirring and emotion, power packed emotion shlokas. So wonderful, Rupa Goswami.
Jayadev Goswami.
Jayadev Goswami, another wonderful poet, Geet Govind. We should always read such beautiful poems. Yes, more.
Jeev Goswami.
Jeev Goswami, okay. But we have to always remember, while all these devotees, nobody is lower or higher. In Vaishnavism, everyone is one higher than the other, and they all glorifying about the same Lord. But one of the greatest poets who is Vedanta Deshika, yes, our Acharya Srila Prabhupada as well, what a wonderful poems he wrote, the greatest of realizations. Absolutely right, Raj Prabhu. One of the greatest poets that Vedanta Deshika feels, in fact, there are two of them. One is Valmiki, because he is the Adikavi. He's the first poet, because from him came the Adikavya, which is Valmiki Ramayana. So if poem existed, that is first is Ramayana. Before that, prose existed, but then poems came from Ramayana. So Valmiki is considered as one of the poets. Then who is the other poet? Vedavyasa, who wrote so many wonderful literature. And of course, we have seen how Jeev Goswami has transcended even that and written so many literature in such a short time, transcending Vedavyasa as well. But these two poets, Valmiki and Vedavyasa, become the foundational tenets of Vedas. And hence Vedanta Deshika says, these are our two Padukas, which give us the entire Vedic science to us. So if one Paduka is actually Vedavyasa, the other is Valmiki. And both of them are seen as the Padukas. These are similes, these are metaphors, but in them are everything. Now, how have they given the entire Vedanta? Because the entire Vedanta, the goal is to attain the lotus feet of the Lord. And what attains the lotus feet of the Lord first? The Padukas. So if the Padukas are the Vedic conclusions of attaining the lotus feet of the Lord, then the eye of the Padukas, you know, the small knot in which your toe goes in, those are nothing but Valmiki and Vedavyasa. What a beautiful comparison of saying the contribution of the first poet Valmiki and Vedavyasa. He even goes on further to say, what made Valmiki write Ramayana? What is the inspiration for Valmiki to write this beautiful 24,000 wonderful shlokas of Ramayana? And the answer he gives is to say, if somebody has to write Ramayana, Mother Saraswati has to dance on the tip of the tongue. And one has to say this shloka. That's why he says, out of turn, when he sees those two cranes falling onto the ground, hunted by a hunter, he says, Ma nishada pratishtam tamagamakas madana shashruti samaha yat krauncha mituna devam mamadam kama mohitam. It comes to him as a natural curse, but it's the greatest Mangalacharan shloka. From shoka, from so much despair in the heart, it comes to the throat, it comes to the chest, it comes to the throat, it comes to the tip of the tongue, and it emanates, the shoka emanates as a shloka. And when this shloka is emanated, this comes as a form of poetry. And this cannot happen until Mother Saraswati dances on the tip of the tongue. So what makes Mother Saraswati dance on the tongue? Because he got the benediction of Narada and also Brahma. So when he got the benediction, when he got the blessings of Lord Brahma, Mother Saraswati started dancing. But how is she dancing? To dance, you need tune. You need music. And where is the music coming from? Look at the thought of this devotee poet. He says, when Lord Rama walks, his padukas have tiny little bells. And when those bells kind of tinkle amongst themselves, it creates a beautiful music. To that music, Mother Saraswati dances on the tongue of Valmiki. So if the glory has to be given of writing Ramayana, it should not go to Valmiki, it should not go to Mother Saraswati, but it should go to the main reason, which is the tinkling of the bells of Lord Ramchandra's sandals. These are the glories of Lord Ramchandra's sandals, which become the very inspiration for us to give Ramayana. So while we might think that Ravana, Rama are the very reason and Sita is the very reason for Ramayana to come to existence, this is how a devotee poet thinks. And the devotee poet thinks that the actual reason is the sandals of the Lord. And that is one of the glorification he provides. Now, he goes further. He doesn't stop himself here. He is here to actually glorify everything about the Lord's sandals. So then he asks this other question. Do you know which entity in this world drinks water from its feet? Anybody can answer this riddle. Which entity in this world drinks water from its feet?
Tree. Plants, Prabhu.
Plants, through roots. Trees. Plants, trees. And what do we call feet in Sanskrit? We know padukas, so half the answer is there.
Pada
means it is the feet. Bhagavat pada, we say, right? Acharya pada, the lotus feet. So pada, right, is the feet. So in fact, Vedanta Deshika wrote a shloka which all of you can memorize when I say right now. He wrote this wonderful shloka. Padapa, 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 padapa. Padapa, 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 padapa. Padapa, 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 padapa. Dapa, 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 dapa. Now you might be wondering, Prabhuji's Zoom has got stuck and he's just repeating this shloka again and again. Only two letters he's repeating. If Microsoft Windows Word, you use this shloka, it will say delete repeating word. No. This is the shloka. Padapa, 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 dapa, 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 dapa. You might be wondering, what does this mean? It seems like somebody is just rattling out here. But padapa means pibati iti padaha, that which brings water through its feet. Now you all said it right. It's none other than a tree or a plant. So now he goes further. If you unfold this verse slowly with different meanings and attaching sandhi and visandhi and all of that sandhi vichhed of Sanskrit, which I don't want to present here. But if you actually unfold this particular shloka like a petal, like a lotus petal, one after the other, what he wants to say is, in the heart of the devotees, there is a beautiful garden. And in the garden, there is a beautiful sandalwood kalpavriksha, or there is a kalpavriksha. There is a desire-fulfilling tree. And generally, if you look at the tree with next to where Lakshmana is standing, there are some roots coming down from the top. It seems like a banyan tree. But at the same time, just behind his head, you see some leaves, and you sometimes see some creepers or vines which go on the trees, isn't it? So you might have trees and you might have some vines and creepers. So what does trees have? Let's say a desire tree or a mango tree. What do trees have in general? A good flourishing tree. What do trees have in general? What are the parts of the tree?
Asakti.
Sorry?
Attachment.
Okay, but what are the components of a tree?
Branches,
twigs, leaves, and
fruits,
flowers.
Fruits and flowers.
Fruits and flowers. Okay, pause. And then, of course, roots, trunk, all of those are there. So he says, let us understand that the Lord is ulta now. That means he's topsy-turvy. Suppose he's standing on his head. So if he's standing on his head, we said that the roots of the tree are the leg. Now let's take it the other way around. And if we mirror image this, the leaves are seen as none other than the lotus feet of the Lord. Now he wants to imagine it like this. But he has a meaning behind this. He says the leaves are the lotus feet of the Lord. From the leaves, in between, comes the flower, isn't it? He says the flowers are the padukas. Because always beneath the leaf, when it is overburdened with flowers, it gets down and you see the leaves are on the top and the flowers is blooming through the twig. So the flowers are the padukas. Now, can anyone tell me, we don't need PhDs in botany, but can anyone tell me what gives rise to fruit? Is it leaves or is it flower?
Flowers,
when they are left, they become fruits. So he says the fruits come from the flower. And what are the fruits? Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. So if the Lord is the tree, the leaves are his lotus feet, the flower is the paduka, and from the paduka comes only these four things, Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha, which are the fruits of labor. And out of that, we want liberation. I don't know about all of you. I'm saying about those who want and those who want devotional service. Those is offered not by the tree, but actually by the fruit. And it says the bee, and he says the bees come for whom? They come for the fruit or the flower?
Flower.
So the bees are like the acharyas. They come to the flower, which is the lotus feet. No, to the padukas of the lotus feet of Lord Ramchandra's feet. And they get attracted to this flower, which is the padukas. And what do they get out of the flower? What do the bees get out of the flower?
Honey.
Or nectar, right? And those are nothing but the very nectar of the Vedic science, Vedanta. And who is saying this? Vedanta Deshika. He is the one indirectly saying, I'm not writing my name down, but if you compare the Lord as a tree, the leaves as the lotus feet, And if the flowers has the beautiful padukas of Lord Ramchandra, and the fruit is dharma, artha, kama, and moksha, and the acharyas as the bees, they are attracted more towards the flower to give the nectar of Vedanta. This is the beautiful nature of glorifying not the tree, not the leaves, not the fruit, but the very flower to which many people are attracted to. So he says, this is the glory. And he says, now we have talked about the glories very indirectly. Let us become very direct. So he says, let's zoom in from a very far distance when Lord Ramchandra walked behind Vishwamitra. When he was walking behind Vishwamitra to go to kill Tataka and to go through Siddhashram where Vishwamitra was doing his yajna, he delivered one lady. Can somebody say the name of that lady? He liberated someone from the curse.
Gautami.
Ahalya.
Ahalya. And Ahalya. How? Yes, Ahalya is correct. And how was she? In what state was she that Lord Ramchandra delivered her?
She was like a stone.
In the shape of stone.
She was, yes, she was in a form of a stone. And we always see this pictures where Lord Ramchandra keeps his foot on top of the stone and suddenly she transforms us from a stone to a lady and she says, I'm so grateful that you kept your lotus feet on me. Actually, Vedanta Deshika says, this never happened. This is not possible. Imagine you're walking on a road, suddenly you see a stone and you decide that you have to now keep the leg on the stone. No, you never do that. When there are pebbles and rocks on the road, you just ignore them and keep walking, isn't it? So how is that Lord Ramchandra gave special attention to a stone, took his feet, kept on the stone? No, Valmiki never says all these. What really happened? Vedanta Deshika uses a telescopic lens and he gives us the real scenario of what happened on that day. He says, when Lord Ramchandra walked, he walked with a gait of an elephant. And he walked with so much might that he was wearing his sandals as he followed Vishwamitra. Because he was a prince back then. He was not told to go to the forest. He was a prince. And while he was a prince, he was completely bedecked with every paraphernalia. And he was wearing his sandals, his padukas. And these padukas were stomping the ground. Thump, thump, thump. It was stomping again and again and again. And when it was stomping the ground, the dust from that stomping on the ground started emanating. And when it started emanating, it started showering on the small rocks and pebbles which were around the road. In fact, it was so involuntary. Lord Ramchandra was just walking, but the dust, they did not come from his lotus feet. They came from the padukas which were there on the lotus feet. And these dust, when it sprinkled on top of the stone, it delivered this lady called as Ahalya. And that's why Valmiki writes in Valmiki Ramayana that when she transformed from a stone, all the three of them were surprised. And Vedanta Deshika says, the surprise was for Lord Ramchandra as well, that I thought my lotus feet can deliver, but anything that is touching my lotus feet, the padukas, they seem to be more grateful to a devotee, that it goes even one step further, that a person who has not fallen at the lotus feet, it delivers them by showering the dust around. So what to speak about the glories of the gem-bedecked sandals of Lord Ramchandra, who she has the capacity to deliver even a stone-like person like Ahalya. And it said, it also has the might of making Bharata carry it on his head. So this is the greatness of the padukas. So now he goes even further. So while this happened in Valmiki Ramayana, he married a very wonderful lady in the Janaka's kingdom, which is called as Videha kingdom. So what's the name of the lady whom Lord Ramchandra married?
Sitaji.
Sita Maya, Sita Devi. So now comes a very, very controversial question. Was Lord Ramchandra Eka Patni Vrata? That I will accept only one wife. Yes. Did he follow it fully?
Yes.
Yes.
He did? Okay. Our Vedanta Deshika devotee poet says, no, he did not follow it fully. And everybody was shocked. Rama is known for this trait that he followed Eka Patni Vrata. He said, no. Before he accepted Sita, he had a more obedient wife. He said, who is that? None other than Paduka Devi. The lady Padukas, they were his first wife. Then all the Acharyas and everybody said, how can you say that? Because Mother Sita was the most obedient wife of Lord Ramchandra. Even when he banished her, she just accepted. She is the most obedient person. But Vedanta Deshika said, no, the Padukas are more obedient than Mother Sita. Now, this was a controversy. How can this be true? And everybody, and Rajprabhu says there were two, but then two are seen as one pair. So how is that Padukas are more obedient than Mother Sita? So now I would like to bring upon any devotee who would like to be a lawyer for next 5 minutes for Mother Sita, and I would be the lawyer for the Padukas. So my proposition is Padukas are more obedient than Mother Sita. Can anybody speak for the arguments from Mother Sita's side? You can put forward the arguments and we'll see how Mother Sita was obedient. You can bring any examples to say how Mother Sita was obedient. Anybody would like to say how Mother Sita was obedient? Of course, there are so many examples in Ramayana. Obedience, yes.
Prabhuji, Padukas left Rama in the beginning only and Mother Sita waited till the end.
Padukas left in the beginning only, okay. Now, I am a lawyer, right? So, lawyer has the ability to twist and turn. Now, I will present the same fact. When he was banished to go to the forest, first he ran and wore the Padukas. And then he came to Mother Sita and said, you don't come, isn't it? Isn't that Valmiki Ramayana? Yeah, right? Yes. And what did Mother Sita say?
No, she won't accompany him.
So how is that obedience? So she said, you don't come, I will come. Lakshmana, you don't come. He said, nothing doing. If you are going, I am coming. So all the three went. But when Rama said, now Padukas, you go back to Ayodhya. Did she say no?
No.
So who is more obedient? Paduka Devi. So this is Vedanta Deshika's realization that if somebody is more obedient, of course, these are poets. And we have to see this. This is not a competition to say, oh, Mother Sita is not obedient. No, this is a way to glorify. And we as devotees should appreciate this glorification of seeing how great it is from a devotee's eyes to see these beautiful narrations unfold before us. So Padukas are seen as more obedient. And he says, she is the first companion to the forest. Before even choosing to go to Mother Sita's palace, before even going to Lakshmana, the first person who adorned and was ready to go was Paduka. And it was chosen by the Lord. So when he says this, Rama blushes a little bit. He says, don't tell like this. What will my other wife think of this? Don't say it like that. These are the little sub-commentaries between the shlokas. If one reads it very beautifully in Valmiki Ramayana, they can unearth these subtle commentaries which are going in the background. And the foremost ones talk about the pastimes. Now, have any of you in this assembly purchased something like a house on a mortgage, or have you purchased something from some person where you have to pledge a security? So think about a scenario where you have to pledge for something you have to get. So generally, what is the pledged value? Is it same? For example, let's say I want to buy a house and I take a loan from the bank. So I have to pledge a security against the loan that I am taking. So generally, my question is the loan pledge, is the loan value greater than the pledged value, or the pledged value is greater than the loan? Suppose I have to pledge a house for 3 lakh rupees. So my pledging, my security deposit will be greater than 3 lakh, or would it be lesser? Or I have to show a security greater than the value of the loan, or would be lesser? What is your thought process? Anybody?
Pledge value is greater than.
Yes. So security pledging, that I am taking this thing from you, but I pledge this, which is of a higher value, to you. So what is the pledge that Lord Ramchandra told in this scene to Bharat? What is the pledge that he took while he was talking to Bharat? You all attended Nitai Sevani Mataji's lecture. So she explained it very beautifully. What is the pledge that Lord Ramchandra took? He said that I will return for sure after 14 years. Because Bharata was crying, he said, Rama, if you don't come, I cannot rule the kingdom. He said, don't worry, I'll come after 14 years. Now you give me a promise, you give me a security pledge. Rama thought, I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What can be more valuable than me? And what did he give? The Padukas. So he said, if somebody has to give a security pledge, he thought that the Padukas have more value than he himself, because it is adorning constantly the lotus feet of the Lord. So it is constantly having the mercy of the Lord. And hence, the security pledge was given, the security deposit given was the Padukas, which Vedanta Deshika says is sometimes seen in these circumstances, that the Lord himself thinks that these are more merciful than him, and was given to the person who was giving a loan of 14 years to Lord Ramchandra to go to the forest and come back. So this is one of the greatest glories of the Padukas, that if somebody has to be glorified, the first person to be glorified is the Padukas of the Lord. So such great imagination of Vedanta Deshika to write such a wonderful commentary on the Padukas. So when Bharata asked for the Padukas, Lord Ramchandra told Lakshmana, who is standing behind, folded his hand, always ready. He said, go and bring it. You know, sometimes these couples, they have eye signals to each other. Mataji will be there, Prabhuji will be there. And Mataji, in between the lecture, will tell to Prabhuji. And if it's an expert couple, they understand by the eye signals itself what they are trying to say. If he says like this, they said, okay, time is over. We are already overpowering. This gentleman doesn't seem like to be finishing the lecture. It is time for us to go pack the prasadam. Let's go outside. This is what this small gesture of eye means. And if it's a good couple, they will understand these two eye signals. If the couple are challenged in communications through eyesights, the communication will be something like this. Mataji will say, Prabhuji will come from there. What? What you need? What needs to be done? Everything has to be explicitly spoken. So this is a sign of communication has to increase a little bit between the couple. But the brothers, Bharata, Shatrughna, Lakshmana, Rama, had excellent communication skills through their eyes. So when Rama said to Lakshmana, like this, immediately everybody thought that Rama is telling something to be brought from inside the Chitrakuta ashrama. And everybody was thinking, what is he going to bring? Is it going to be the bedecked jewel? Is it going to be the saranga bow? And Lakshmana brought out these sandals, these Rama's beautiful sandals. And everybody was thinking, sandals? Why is he bringing these padukas? And the Lord Ramchandra, it is said in Valmiki Ramayana, in shlokas, that Ramchandra climbed on top of them, wore it for 2 seconds, got it down and said, now you take them, Bharata. So my question to devotees here is, why did he climb on the padukas and he got down? Look at how devotees kind of zoom in into every single intricate detail in Ramayana. Why did Lord Ramchandra climb onto the padukas, made himself rest on his padukas for 2 seconds and then got down? What is the reason? Anybody? can think about, I'm giving you a rope to think about what Vedanta Deshika would be analyzing and thinking. And we can stretch our imaginations. Yes, Dhira Govind Prabhu, you have something to say?
As if he was climbing on the throne, which he was going to give it to Bharat.
Well, okay, that's very poetic. That's very nice. It feels like he was climbing on the throne. So from that argument, if it is white, Dhira Govind Prabhu, it's like him, he's still giving the throne to Bharat. So then people might say, oh, he still feels he is the king, isn't it? Because he is giving the throne to Bharat, right? So that doesn't make a cut towards Rama's complete intent. Anybody else?
Padukas were missing Sri Ram.
Padukas were missing Sri Ram. No, they were truly inside the house till that time. It was with Lord Ramchandra. And now only Lakshmana is bringing. So Padukas were not missing him. Anybody else? Okay.
Giving
Put the dust on the Paduka.
So if you are, and Mataji said giving blessings to Bharat. So if you are putting the dust of the lotus feet on the Padukas, and if you are sitting and writing glories of the Padukas, that means you are dependent upon the lotus feet to give you mercy, isn't it? So that means it's indirectly glorifying, not direct glorification of the Padukas. So blessings to Bharata, yes, by giving the Padukas, correct. But why did he stand? That question is still not getting answered. Anybody else?
To communicate with Padukas that I'll be back.
To give santana to the Padukas that don't worry, I will be back. Okay, that can be a good poetic reason. I like that people are thinking in the poetic manner and this is encouraged. He will give strength to the Bharata so Maharaj can carry. Okay, that's also a very beautiful answer, that he's giving strength to the sandals to be carried by Bharata. Hold on to that thought. I will come back to it. Yes, anybody else? Anybody else?
To satisfy the Padukas.
Power to Bharatji.
To give power to Bharatji. Okay, I'll come back to that. Satisfy the Padukas. In fact, look at the way the glorification that Vedanta Deshika very wonderfully says. He says, when your cell phone, of course he doesn't say, I'm just paraphrasing. When your cell phone, which is very powerful, goes out of juice, that means it loses its battery, what do? You charge it with a charger. Correct? To do its functionality. So Vedanta Deshika says, after he climbed on the Padukas, and this is just a poetic way of saying, it's not that the Lord needs new energy, he's fully Shaktiman, he's fully opulent, but he says, he got himself further charged from the Padukas, the energy and the vow got further segmented, and it kind of created more an energy to the vow to go and gave him more power to go and vanquish Ravana. So if Ravana was vanquished, the reason was he stood for 2 seconds on top of the Padukas. And that gives a multitude of meanings to understand, is it just a poetic way of saying and giving glorification to the Padukas? But the acharyas, due to time shortage, I cannot say, they give commentaries after commentaries to talk about why he climbed on those Padukas for 2 seconds. And then for all those who said, gave the power to Bharata to carry, Vedanta Deshika says this beautiful narration of a simple story, and that will answer whether Bharata carried the Padukas or Padukas carried Bharata. He gives a story that there was a cave. In the cave, there was a male lion, there was a female lion, and there was a small cub. And they were enjoying their time inside the cave. At that very moment, outside the cave came a 10-headed elephant and started roaring in such a way and started trumpeting in such a way that the lions thought something is going to attack the cave. So the male lion caught hold of the female lion, and the female lion caught hold of the cub and came in front of the cave to witness the sight. Then what happened? He says this small story that the male lion said, oh, it's just a 10-headed elephant. Don't worry, you take the cub inside my wife, the female lion. So the female lion took the cub and went inside. And he finished the story and came back. So now this is the story he answers, and everybody is thinking, what is this has to do with the Padukas? What is this has to do with anything? In fact, he says the cave is Ayodhya. And in the cave, there was a male lion who is none other than Lord Ramchandra living with his female lion and the cub. Now the question is, who are these two personalities? Now, who should be the female lion in this case, in this example? Of course, the 10-headed elephant is none other than Ravana. Outside the cave is none other than Chitrakoot. But now the question is, who is the female lion? Because he said, he told the female lion to take the cub and go away. So who is the female lion here? What's the analogy? Anybody?
Padukas.
Padukas, very nice. Why not Mother Sita?
Because it's given to Bharata and the Padukas is going to take care of Bharata.
Okay, that's the answer we're jumping to. But in the story, he said the female lion to go back, take care of the cub and go back to the cave. That means go back to Ayodhya. Sita Maiya never came back to Ayodhya from that moment. She had to go to Lanka and he had to go vanquish Ravana and come back. So now the question is female lion. And who is the cub? He is Bharata. Who are the jivas, the souls, the Ayodhya Vasis? They are the ones. So here, Vedanta Deshika puts a very, very great emphasis on the point that it's not Bharata who carried the Padukas. In fact, Padukas carried Bharata. And what did they give him? When he carried them, it gave him a lot of joy and sweetness when he was carrying it on his head. It gave him so much of joy and sweetness. And that is called in Sanskrit as Madhura, which in nowadays is called as Mathura. It gave him a lot of strength and it gave him more of willpower, Avanti. And it gave him the Vaikuntha itself, Ayodhya. So in fact, it says the Padukas have in themselves all the great cities of Ujjaini, Avanti, Mathura, Ayodhya, everything is situated in those Padukas. And because he carried them, he could find it more blissful. The Padukas are like the mother cow, which ran back to its calf, the Ayodhya Vasis, to give that nourishment of care, those milk of devotion to the Ayodhya Vasis. Such beautiful narrations keep going on and on and on. And Vedanta Deshika, sitting on that pedestal, spoke 1,008 shlokas, just glorifying the Padukas. In those shlokas of 1,008, we talked about 9 shlokas today. And these are the inner meanings of those shlokas that we spoke about today. In these 1,008 shlokas, he covered the entire Ramayana. He covered the coronation ceremony of Rama. He covered that the coronation ceremony was secondary of Lord Ramchandra, but it was the Abhisheka of the Padukas, which were at the prime pedestal. So all these, and there are so many questions. Whenever we speak Ramayana, 3 questions are always asked. One question was handled by Chaitanya Charan Prabhu saying, why was Wali killed? Another question, famous question is asked, why was Sita banished to the kingdom? Isn't it? This question is always asked. And Vedanta Deshika says that very, very wonderfully. He says that even when Lord Ramchandra ruled the kingdom, some people still accuse of 2 mistakes, though they are not mistakes. They are absolutely correct. And there is Vedic Pramana and Shastra to say what Lord Ramchandra did was correct. Some people still accuse him of these 2 mistakes. But in those 14 years of reign of Bharata, doing the puja for the Padukas, there was not even one single mistake that anybody could point it out. So the rule of the Padukas is seen greater sometimes to the rule of the Lord itself. So when we start to glorify, Vedanta Deshika wrote these wonderful, beautiful shlokas of 1008. He wrote Chitrakavyas. He wrote the Euler's algorithm of mathematical position of a knight's movement on a chessboard. He wrote about an arrow formation in the form of shlokas. Chitrakavyas are very difficult to make. Rupa Goswami also wrote wonderful Chitrakavyas. So these beautiful narrations he wrote within 3 hours. And 1008 shlokas, when he narrated, people were jubilant. They understood, now is an acharya, now is a preceptor who can come and establish the commentaries more profoundly. He would be instrumental in removing Mayavadis. He would be instrumental in removing nihilism or Shunyavada. He would be instrumental in establishing the Vaishnavite culture of poetry, mathematics, and also many languages moved into one by his works. And so much so that the Lord sent his pujari from the temple of Sri Rangam. And he said, today, because you composed these 1008 verses, Vedanta Deshika, you are called as the lion of poets. Kavitadara Simha. You're called as the lion of poets. And Mother Lakshmi sent a honorary title to him named as Sarvatantra Swatantra. You're completely independent. At the same point of time, you are completely bestowed with all the kinds of beautiful skill sets to write poetry. And because of his conclusions of Vedanta, he was called as the Vedanta Acharya. Imagine reading through these 1008 shlokas. Every one of them is an ocean in itself. And every one of them is to glorify how the Lord's Padukas can be glorified. It's us who devotees, when we read, we should get imbibed in this thought. Such great is the spiritual depth of Sanatana Dharma. Such great is the spiritual depth of devotion that at any paraphernalia can give us such deep realizations. So I hope the gem bedecked sandals or padukas would always nourish us, will always shelter us, will give us that sprinkling of dust from the lotus feet of Lord Ramchandra, which will enable us to chant the holy names. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I hope this could do a little bit justice to the topic. Of course, if anybody is interested, we could do another session. There are 1008. We never run out of slokas. But this was a small bit of an attempt to glorify. And I thank once again Bhakti Sangha Japa Group and also Shyamagauri Mataji to give me this opportunity. Yadastrat khalitam kinchit vidvamsat purayantu tat yadastrat saushtubam kinchit tad gurur eva me nahi. If you found any mistakes, they also are truly mine in this lecture. And if you found something very good, all glories go to the Acharyas, my spiritual master, and of course, Vedanta Deshika. Sarvaishta Niparakam Shabagaram Pinklashamapakam Sitanveshna Tatparam Kavivaram Kodinda Surya Prabham Lankadipa Payankaram Sagalapam Sugriva Sammanitam Devendradi Samasta Devinidam Kagastutam Bhaje Kyataka Shri Ramadutaha Pavanat Tanubhavaka Pinglaha Shikavan Sita Shoka Pahari Tachamukha Vijayi Lakshmana Prananatha Anedam Bechajadrehe Lavana Jalanidehe Lankane Dishadoryo Yagavira Shriman Hanuman Homan Sivasan Kari Siddham Tanodu Manochapam Marutu Kulya Vegam Chidendriyam Budhivadam Varishtam Patatmacham Vanariyudamukhyam Shri Ramadutam Sarasanavam. All glories to Hanuman, who gives all these wonderful tenets and keeps speaking about them. Hare Krishna, Jai Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you so much. You enlightened us.
Hare Krishna, thank you.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, what a wonderful class, Prabhuji, just on the paragraphs of Lord Sri Ram, so many to learn. So I think we should have one more session also. Let's hope Shyamagauri Mataji will call them back again. So you started from Sri Rangam, where both the poets were started their Sambadam. Then from there you went on to Vaikuntha, and from there you went on to Ramayan, from there you went on to botany, and from there you went on to the shlokas, where it's glorifying of both the Lord Ram's feet. and how it says how the dust of the lotus feet of Sri Ram is so merciful that it delivers Ahalya only because of the dust. So many interpretations, Prabhuji. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful narration. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. And thank you so much for your time for giving us. So the devotees, if any questions or realizations or comments, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Such a wonderful class. And I just want to tell, like when you were narrating, so I was cooking bhoga. So I was supposed to make 4 paratha, but more than double I prepared. And I was just what I'm doing. So I just stopped that.
So, so Mataji, did you make 8? The glory goes to Padukas. More than 8? The glories go to Padukas.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Thank you so
Hare Krishna.
Much.
Thank you.
Any other devotees? Please go ahead. Any questions, comments, realizations? Thank you, Mataji, for that bhoga. And thank you for making more.
Yes. Any questions? If Hare no questions. Go ahead. Please go ahead.
We don't have words, Prabhuji. Just, there is a saying that in Tamil that only when the ears don't have food, there is a need to eat. So it's like that. After Ekadashi, it is actually when is a breakfast time, when we can have breakfast. But all that is forgotten today. So, so, so wonderful. I mean, all the nuances of your glorification is such a meditation, and how rich our Puranas are, and Acharyas are delving more and more and more deep into it. And this is really life we should live for this. That's what I could talk, Prabhuji. Thank you so much.
That is very sweet realization, Mataji. In fact, that's one of the realizations we should expect. Many people say we should go back home, back to Godhead. I know it's interesting to go back home, back to Godhead. But the more we read scriptures, if we get a realization, I can come 100 lifetimes just to finish these scriptures. Because what are we going to do going back home, back to God? Glorify the Lord. We're not going there to enjoy. We're going to listen more and more and more and more. So when we read such scriptures, we feel that one lifetime is not enough. One lifetime is definitely not enough to finish these scriptures, to go into the depths. And yes, so that's a very nice realization. Thank you.
Thank you, Lalita Mataji. Yes, Prabhuji, of course, as you said, we need so many lifetimes to read these scriptures and understand the realizations what Acharyas have told us. So thank you so much, Prabhuji. And Prabhupada, in this connection, he told, even if I'm left in the hell, I will be doing the preaching only over there. So that's what we need, actually. Wherever we go, we just try to study the scriptures and understand it and realize it and follow the rules and regulations and the principles which is told in the Shastras. So for this, I don't think, at least for myself, this lifetime is enough for me. Hare Krishna. Yes, Shyama Gauri Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Very, very wonderful class. Very beautiful. Like Lalitangi Mataji says, we don't have any words to express. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mataji, for connecting all these from India. And devotees, any other questions or realizations, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Haridas Parya Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to this wonderful class, Prabhuji, and thank you so much for bringing Shivedanta Deshikar's poetry here. It's so beautiful, very, very beautiful. And Lalitangi Mataji actually put it in the best words possible. There is nothing more that we can say. It was just mind-blowing, very, very wonderful class, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for being here and doing this for us. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna. Right. So, thank
you, Mataji.
Yeah, yes, if there is no question, then I have one question.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. How many of you have heard that? And How many of you have heard that Lord Ramchandra worshipped Lord Shiva at Rameshwaram?
Yes,
yeah, I had heard that.
So yes. There is always a question, right? Did he worship or did he not worship? And why would the Lord worship Lord Shiva? Yes, somebody.
Just to glorify Lord Shiva.
Just to glorify Lord Shiva. Okay. Kavita Mataji has got her hand up. Yes, Kavita Mataji.
Yeah, because he was a great Vaishnava, like great devotee. So just to show, like, yes. Bhagwan, what's like, I don't know exact word, but yeah, just with the love of devotee. Yeah.
Yeah, Lord loves to glorify his devotees.
Mm-hmm. And how did he glorify? He didn't utter any new words. How did he glorify? His worship? So Vedanta Deshika gives an answer. Lord Shiva is Abhisheka Priya. He loves Abhisheks. So how was he done the Abhishek? He did it in Rameshwaram. So how did Lord Rama did the Abhishek? By getting the ocean water. He took the ocean water and poured it on Lord Shiva's linga. Now, how much embarrassed Lord Shiva would be, the Lord whom he always chants upon and meditates upon is worshipping him. But actually, Vedanta Deshika says that was not the scene. There was a scene behind the scene. There are some back behind the scenes action. And what is it? He said, the real reason is Bharata. Anyone might be wondering, what is Bharata has to do in this? Bharata at Nandigram at that time was worshipping the Padukas. And he was taking water from Sarayu, Gomti, and worshipping the Padukas, doing the Abhishek. And after he did the Abhishek, the waters became Charnamrit. And that Charnamrit met into Sarayu and Gomti. And they both met into the ocean. And the rivers are known as the wives of the ocean. So Lord Ramchandra took his Charnamrit and poured it over the greatest devotee, Lord Shiva. This is the understanding they gave. So ends the conclusion that why Lord Ramchandra gave the water
to Lord Shiva. So nice for you to hear. Thank you so much.
Right. So Vaishnavism always has a way to destroy Mayavadi and nihilism. And such pure poets are there. No other questions. Thank you very much for all your listening. And this is just some of the 1008. So we can definitely have more sessions. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for giving your wonderful time and valuable time and association. And thank you so much for the wonderful class. Please come again on the call to give us more interpretation on these parables of Lord Ram. And devotees, let's pay our obeisances to Prabhuji. Panta Kalpa Chukasya, Kupasya, 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 Kupasya,
Thank you, Prabhu. Beautiful class.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Wonderful class.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji.